In this session, we'll look at CGT and IHT issues regarding overseas trusts. We will start with some general CGT principles. Trustees who are not resident in the UK are not generally chargeable to capital gains tax. However, in certain circumstances, capital gains of overseas trusts may instead be charged on the settlor or the beneficiaries. Trustees should compute gains as if they were resident in the UK. Any reliefs due to UK resident trustees are given, but no annual exemption is available. Non-resident trustees must set allowable losses against gains of the same or later tax years. They cannot set them against gains for earlier tax years. Losses cannot be attributed to a beneficiary. As mentioned in the previous lecture, a capital gains tax exit charge will arise when a trust becomes non-resident. Where a trust becomes non-resident, all trust assets are deemed to be disposed of, then immediately reacquired at their market value. This will give rise to capital gains tax in the year in which the trust is exported from the UK. There is an exception to the exit charge where the trustees have assets in the UK that they use for the purposes of a trade. If the trustees trade through a branch or agency in the UK, these assets are chargeable to CGT in any event under Section 10 of TCGA, even if the trustees are non-UK resident. Such gains are therefore excluded from the exit charge. If the non-resident trustees do not pay the CGT due on an exit charge within 6 months from the normal due date, a former trustee may be required to pay the unpaid tax and interest. The former trustee must pay it within 30 days of the issue of a notice by HMRC. This trustee must have held office in the 12 months before the trustees became not resident. The former trustee does not have to pay the tax and interest if he shows that he ceased to be a trustee before the date the trustees became not resident, and there was no proposal for the trustees to become not resident when he ceased to be a trustee. Turning now to Section 86 of TCGA 1992. Under Section 86, a settlor will be chargeable in respect of gains arising to a non-resident trust if the settlor has retained an interest in the trust for capital gains tax purposes. This can happen even if he does not have an interest for income tax purposes. This is because the definition of a settlor interest for CGT is much wider than it is for income tax. The settlor charge will only apply in tax years in which the settlor is UK domiciled and is either resident or ordinarily resident in the UK. The charge will cease to apply in the year of the settlor's death and thereafter. A settlor is treated as having an interest in the non-resident trust for CGT purposes if any of the following persons can benefit from the trust: the settlor, the settlor's spouse or civil partner, the settlor's children or stepchildren, spouses or civil partners of the settlor's children or stepchildren, the settlor's grandchildren or spouses of grandchildren if the trust was set up on or after the 17th of March 1998. The settlor charge will also apply to pre-1998 grandchildren's trust where the trust became non-resident or property is added or additional beneficiaries are added on or after the 17th of March 1998. The settlor can set off any personal losses against trust gains attributed to him under Section 86. The settlor has a right to recover any CGT from the trustees. Gains caught under Section 86 for 2010-11 will be deemed to arise before the 23rd of June 2010 and will therefore be taxed at 18%. There is no provision for applying different tax rates depending on when the trust gains arose, as there is for UK trusts. The rate will be 28% for 2011-12. If gains made by overseas trusts cannot be charged in the hands of the trustees or the settlor, HMRC will look to tax the gains in the hands of the beneficiaries. Beneficiaries of non-resident trusts may be chargeable to capital gains tax in respect of gains realised by the trustees under Section 87 of TCGA 1992. This will usually be the case where the settlor charge under Section 86 does not apply to the trust gains, either because the settlor is dead or the settlor was either non-domiciled or non-resident in the UK, or the trust is not settlor interested. For example, the trust was set up for persons other than the settlor or his spouse, children or grandchildren. Section 87, TCGA 1992, has matching rules whereby payments or benefits received by beneficiaries, called capital payments, are matched with gains that the trustees have made. A charge to tax will usually arise when capital gains and capital payments are matched. The principle is similar to that used for income tax under Section 731. HMRC Residency issues Forms 50FS to trustees who are not resident in the UK to help them monitor trust gains and capital payments. If trust gains exceed capital payments, there are unmatched gains. A separate record is retained of unmatched gains for each tax year. They are not pooled. Unmatched gains can be matched against capital payments in subsequent years. Matching is on a last-in, first-out basis. Therefore, say, a capital payment in 2011-12 will match first with any gains in 2011-12, then with unmatched gains of 2010-11, then with unmatched gains of 2009-10, and so on. If capital payments exceed trust gains, these unmatched payments are carried forward and matched with trust gains made in future years. Personal capital losses made by a beneficiary are not available to be set against a beneficiary's trust gains attributed to him under Section 87. This is different to settlor-interested trusts, where attributed gains under Section 86 can be offset by personal capital losses. A capital payment is any payment that is not chargeable to income tax on the beneficiary and will include the transfer of an asset, cash or otherwise, the conferring of any benefit, for example, low interest loans, rent-free occupation of trust property, occasions when a beneficiary becomes absolutely entitled to trust assets. Where the capital payment is not an outright transfer of money or the transfer of an asset, the value of the capital payment for CGT purposes is the value of the benefit conferred. In the case of a low interest loan, the value of the benefit is calculated using the notional interest rules, with interest computed using the HMRC official rate. In the case of rent-free occupation of trust property, the value is the arm's length rent that would be charged to a third-party tenant. For Section 87 purposes, the rate of CGT depends on when the capital payment is made. Matched gains are taxed at 18% if the capital payment was made before the 23rd of June 2010, and 28% if the capital payment was made on or after the 23rd of June 2010. The date the trustees made the gain is irrelevant, as the match creates the charge. By way of illustration, the Brown Family Discretionary Trust was established by Arthur Brown in 2007 for the benefit of his goddaughter Jessica. Jessica is resident and domiciled in the UK. The trust has two trustees, both of whom are resident outside the UK. The trust has no income. The trust gains and losses in recent years should now have appeared on your screen. The trustees have made the following capital payments. In 2008-09 and 2009-10, no payments were made. In 2010-11, £50,000 was paid to Jessica. In 2011-12, Jessica received another £110,000 from the trustees. We'll examine how these capital payments are matched with the trust capital gains. Section 86, TCGA 1992, will not apply to the trust, as the trust is not settlor interested. The beneficiary is the settlor's goddaughter, therefore Section 86 does not apply. Instead, trust gains will be attributed to the beneficiary under Section 87. The position for each year is as follows. In 2008-09, the trust has gains of £40,000 and losses of £10,000 to give net gains for the year of £30,000. There are no capital payments to beneficiaries, so these gains are unmatched. In 2009-10, the trust has gains of £10,000. Again, there are no capital payments, So these gains are unmatched. These two unmatched gains are kept separate. They are not pooled together. In 2010-11, there is a net trust loss in the year of £12,000. This loss must be carried forward to reduce trust gains of later years, i.e. 2011-12 onwards. It cannot offset the gains from 2008-09 or 2009-10. The trustees made a capital payment in 2010-11 of £50,000. This is matched with gains on a last-in, first-out basis. There are no gains in 2010-11. Therefore, we look back to the year before, i.e. 2009-10. Gains in 2009-10 are £10,000. We therefore match £10,000 of the capital payment in 2010-11 with the gain in 2009-10. Next, we look back to 2008-09. Gains in 2008-09 are £30,000. We therefore match £30,000 of the capital payment in 2010-11 with the gain in 2008-09. There are no other gains, so we stop there. Matched gains are £40,000. Jessica is therefore chargeable on a capital gain of £10,000 plus £30,000, which equals £40,000 in 2010-11. And she must disclose this on her 2010-11 self-assessment return and pay CGT accordingly. She can use her annual exemption against the gain, but she cannot offset any personal capital losses. The process has not used up all the capital payment, so some of the capital payment is unmatched. The unmatched capital payment is £50,000 less the matched gains of £40,000, being £10,000. This unmatched capital payment goes forward to 2011-12 to be matched with gains in that year. Finally, we consider 2011-12. In 2011-12, the trust has gains of £120,000 and losses of £18,000 to give net gains for the year of £102,000. In addition, there is a capital loss of £12,000 to bring forward from 2010-11. The net gains for 2011-12 are therefore £90,000. There is a capital payment in 2011-12 of £110,000. To this we add the unmatched capital payment of £10,000 brought forward from 2010-11, giving total capital payments in 2011-12 of £120,000. These payments are matched with the £90,000 of gains in 2011-12. Capital payments exceed trust gains, so the gains of £90,000 will be matched. Jessica is therefore chargeable on a capital gain of £90,000 in 2011-12, and she must disclose this on her 2011-12 self-assessment return. The excess capital payment of £30,000 will be carried forward to 2012-13. In summary, Jessica has no Section 87 gains in 2008-09 or 2009-10, as she received no capital payments. Her Section 87 gains for 2010-11 are £40,000. Her Section 87 gains for 2011-12 are £90,000.